Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We are rolling. Wednesday, January 7, 2025 is the date. Welcome in, as always, to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at Jan_Kuhn71. I'm alongside executive producer of the program. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
It's always a good day when Vince Williams Jr. helps save the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, and when Cam Spencer puts the number 2 seed in the Western Conference to sleep with 2 buckets at the end.
Was Victor Wembanyama the best player on the floor? No, it was Cam Spencer.
In the fourth quarter, honestly, there's no debate. I think Cam Spencer was the best player on the floor in the fourth quarter. It was unbelievable to watch, and I'll be the first one to say it, and we'll talk about it in a second. I'll elaborate a little bit more, but I was wrong. Hand up. I was incorrect about how that game would go. If you'll remember, the line was at 6.5 when Ja Morant was announced to be out of that game.
Right.
And the line moved in the Grizzlies' favor after that. It closed at 5.5. And my thought was there's just no way they can come close to covering this. Not only did they cover, they won straight up. That's Vegas for you. That is Vegas for you. But we'll talk about that. We have overreaction, not an overreaction, off the top of the show today. And within there, we have some college football playoff to talk about. So that should be fun. And there was a pretty, how do I put it, Connor? A fun hire, cool hire made over at the University of Memphis.
Yeah.
By Charles Huff.
Deserved hire?
Definitely deserved hire. But we'll talk about that and discuss that thoroughly. Then I'm going to post a college football playoff question to Connor. We'll discuss it with these final four teams. And we have to get to the portal. A lot going on in the portal. Not only just player movement in general. You know, a lot of fan bases losing their native-born sons, you know, the guys that they developed. But at the same time, there's one guy who is on the West Coast, or I should say the Pacific Northwest, Damon Williams, quarterback for Washington, who is treading on his school, his former school, in a pretty big way. He is getting into the transfer portal, but Washington has basically proclaimed they will not let him do that without a fight. So we'll talk through that and sort of see what's going on in that realm. As far as guests are concerned, 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join the show per normal from CBS Sports, college football, college basketball to talk about with him. And then 6 o'clock, my guy Colton Denning, his Ohio State Buckeyes, just recently got knocked out of the college football playoff. But I know he's still in good spirits. He wrote a column for Two Stripe CPD. That he owns, and it was basically about how after last year's expanded playoff Final Four, all the blue bloods, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Texas, this year was a pretty clear shot against that, a pretty clear buck against that trend. And he also adds that it's not by accident. So I want him, when he comes on, to elaborate on that, and we will discuss thoroughly. But that is the show laid out for you. Obviously, trip around the NFL at 5:30. But you know how we open every single Wednesday show, right? Overreaction, not an overreaction.
All right, Gabe, last night's Grizzlies win is the win of the season so far. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
I've got to be honest. I don't think it's particularly close. Not an overreaction.
There's only one other game I think could be.
But this one was even more shorthanded. And the fact that they were able to win this game against this particular competition, I think this is not an overreaction. I think it is the best win of the season for the Grizzlies thus far. The reasons are, you were without John Morant, Cedric Howard, Zach Edey, Brandon Clark. Like, do I need to keep naming names? I think people get the picture at this point. Your starting lineup was Cam Spencer, Jock Landale, G.G. Jackson, and then Jaren and Jaylen. And you played against what is just about a full-strength number two team in the Western Conference. Just about a full strength. Only guy they were missing is Devin Vassell. Victor Wembanyama suited up, and he suited up pretty well. I mean, 30 points last night.
Yeah.
30 points.
Minutes restriction, though.
He was phenomenal. Still on a minutes restriction, but still 30 points. Cam Spencer was phenomenal in that fourth quarter, 13 points. He had the last two buckets to get the Grizzlies over top. They were down 105-101. Knocks in a three, knocks in a two. They take the lead 106-105. They hold on. I mean, looking at Vince Williams Jr., you called this. You said if the Grizzlies are going to have a chance, we're going to have to see, you know, Vince Williams Jr. go full Magic Johnson. And honestly, I looked at what he did last night and just watched that game as a whole, defensively, offensively. He was a plus 15 overall. I know that earlier in the season he had, what was it, like a 13 assist, no turnover game.
I think more than that.
16 assists, 19, whatever the hell it was.
He was
ridiculous in that one stretch where he was basically the full on-ball guy. This might have been the best Vince Williams Jr. game I've seen in his career. 15
in his
points,
career?
15 points, 6 rebounds, that. 5 assists, 4 for 6 from 3, only 1 turnover. I thought he was great last night.
He was great.
I thought he was phenomenal. I thought he was phenomenal last night. He did that in just 22 minutes. But just seeing what they did to defy the odds last night, to me, puts this at the top of the – it puts it at the canopy. It puts it as the best win in the Grizzly season thus far.
Yeah, I think it's either this or the Minnesota win. I think in retrospect, you might be able to slide the Suns win in there when Ja hit the game winner right at the end, and you're having an almost collapse in the fourth quarter when Devin Booker was going crazy. But yeah, I think the last night's probably the best win of the season so far. You know, the minutes restriction giveth and taketh away. Like last night, you got one back. I think that they lost the game against the Spurs earlier in the season because of a minutes restriction. And last night, you could argue that they won a game because of a minutes restriction. Victor Wembanyama was going crazy when he was actually in the game, and then he just wasn't on the court enough for the Spurs to pull away from the Grizzlies. And Cam Spencer had a massive game. Vince Williams Jr., yes, I think it's one of the better games
best
of his
of all
career.
Time.
I don't know if it was the best of his career, but you know, best shooting performance maybe of the year, four or six from three.
I think we
can agree on that. But no, I talked about it yesterday. You asked me, how can the Grizzlies win this game? And I said, one miracle. And I think that we kind of got it. Because my second reason was Cam Spencer has to go nuts. Vince has to have a good game. Jaren has to have a good game. And he had a pretty good game. 9 rebounds, I think, was important from Jaren last night.
5 or 7 from 3, too.
But we said this Grizzlies team has a tendency over the last 3 seasons when we've seen them so injured. They kind of overperform in moments.
That's true.
And that's why last night had all of the makings of that, especially with the Victor Wembanyama when it's minutes restriction. And I think Parker Fleming said this on Twitter, and a couple people have said it. This team has a little bit more G&G DNA than we give them credit for. They don't have the talent right now to really go out there and win every single night. Like, you had the expectation during G&G they would win every single night. But this team goes out there, and they're at least competing every single night. They play hard defense. I think, to be honest, credit where credit is due. GG's defense was better than expected last night. Like, he didn't do much offensively, but he gave you some effort out there last night, which I think was important. Jalen Wells also gave you some effort last night. And then Jock Landale continues just to be a solid addition for the Memphis Grizzlies this year.
And did it as a starter last night,
which
was
surprising. Had a couple dumb moments last night that almost cost the Grizzlies, but overall, I would say his performance led to a victory for them for the most part. And I do think that it was last night. I will also give credit where credit is due to Isolo. I think he coached really well last night. He coached with feel. I like the decision of starting Jock when you have Victor Wembanyama coming off of the bench for the Spurs. He put his guys in a position to succeed last night, and he deserves credit for that.
Yeah, if you get 19, 9, 2, and then 6 offensive rebounds out of Jock Landale, I don't care if he has one dumb moment or a couple dumb moments, you chalk that up as a dub, brother.
Right,
that is
absolutely.
That is phenomenal. That's great. Tonight is pretty important, and obviously we'll be off a little bit early because of Grizzlies versus the Suns.
Right.
Tonight's important because this is a chance for the Grizzlies to get back-to-back wins against teams above 500. Do you know the last time that they were able to do that?
At least been a year.
Yes, it was last year. February 2nd was the second game that they won over a team that was 500 or better. It was back-to-back nights. They had – or not back-to-back nights, but back-to-back games. They had the Rockets and they had the Bucks. So that's the last time that they have beaten two teams that are above 500 in back-to-back games. So it would be really nice to see if they're able to do it tonight. Now – injury report's worse, if you can believe that. Injury report.
Well, kind of, yeah.
I mean, what is it? What is it? Last I checked, there was more names added. Now, some of them are probable, some of them
right.
are questionable.
I think that's why I'm saying it's not.
Right, but this is.
It's a slight improvement, and it seems like Jaren's going to play.
Yeah, Jaren's probable.
Yeah.
So he'll likely play. But then questionable, Santi, Ja, and Vince Williams Jr. Vince left it all on the floor last night.
That's all my need.
And then,
to
of
give
course,
you.
Out Brandon Clark said Zach Edey, Ty Jerome, John Contra, Scottie.
They Pitt. Honestly should just start telling us who's going to play. It would be it would take less time for them,
and it would feel
fewer
less,
characters.
And also, this it would feel less negative. You know, it would just feel like let's talk about the good side. It's basically the living embodiment of Jeffrey Wright's tell your story segment. Right, you're telling your own story. We're not going to tell you who's out. We're going to tell you who's in.
I just got a text from George. Apparently, Jaren got downgraded to questionable now. So he's no longer great. They heard us talk. We were too loud. They must have been playing us in the arena.
Oh, he's got an illness, too.
Yeah.
It's a sickness.
I wonder if it's that stomach bug.
I hope for him, for his sake, no. I hope for his sake, no.
Might be able to help his defense, though. Just threaten it. Listen out.
But so, okay, so in review, now that we have that information, Jaren Jackson Jr., Santi, Ja, and Vince, all questionable tonight. Adding on top of all the guys.
And unfortunately, the Suns are much better than we expected them to be.
Well, yeah, of course. But, hey, I'm not going to make any proclamations about tonight's game. I'm not going to do it.
It's the same line. It's 6.5.
It's amazing how much Vegas knows. I don't – that line shrinking by a point after Ja Morant's designation was out is absolutely insane. And then the Grizzlies win the game straight up. I want to know how much money Vegas made off of that particular game, right? I don't know who what side the money was on. But that's amazing to me. It boggles the mind. There's no reasonable explanation for Vegas shrinking that line to 5.5 before the game, knowing all the injuries the Grizzlies had.
There is one, and it is they had the knowledge, and I'm assuming that San Antonio reporters and fans had the knowledge that Wembanyama's on a minutes restriction. I was not aware of that until the game began last night.
Now, granted, but let's put that into context as well. With Victor Wembanyama off the floor, that's a winning ball club.
Yes.
So it's like, in any case, I don't know how that line looked the way it did. But obviously, the final score tells you it should have looked that way, I guess. I mean, that's insane to me. I mind was blown last night seeing that game play out.
Yeah, but I'm thankful that he was on a minutes restriction, though, because I do think it's important that you stole one back. You lost one of the Spurs earlier in the season. Because you had a couple guys on minutes restriction, you collapsed in the fourth quarter, and then you were able to steal one back. That's a big, big deal, especially with the difficult stretch of basketball coming up for them. And then tonight's gonna be tough. I mean, the Suns are really playing well right now. Dylan Brooks is playing very well right now. You fear a Dylan Brooks revenge game type of moment?
I don't know. I guess.
He's averaging 20 over his last 10.
I know he's been playing well.
He's been playing well.
I don't want to see it, is I guess why I'm dreading it, because I feel like it's quite possible. It's quite possible, especially with all the injuries the Grizzlies have. But we'll see. I would like to see them get back-to-back wins against teams above 500.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've seen this team with that level of play.
Well, you're going to have to get similar performances tonight that you got last night from everyone. And if Jaren doesn't play, but you get Ja back, you'll have a shot. But if you don't have Jaren and you don't have Ja, just pray. Just pray and let Cam Spencer shoot
25 times. No, if that happens, if Ja and Jaren are out, Vegas is just going to make the Grizzlies 2.5-point favorites, and they'll win and cover.
Yeah, probably so. All right, next up. Longtime Whitehaven head coach Rodney Salisbury has been hired as director of high school relations and player development by Charles Huff and Memphis. This is a good hire by Huff in his first offseason. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
I'm going to say overreaction because the word good is downplaying it too much. This is phenomenal. This is a phenomenal hire. Awesome hire by Charles Huff in his first offseason. I honestly can't think of a single coach in Memphis who's more qualified to be the director of high school relations and player development in the city. I can't think of a single coach or single person, single living being that's more qualified than Rodney Salisbury. 22 years at Whitehaven High School, won 2 state championships, had 2 undefeated seasons, and has developed multiple players along the way that have gone SEC, America, everywhere across the country. So I think this is a awesome boost, and it's just great to see. And Ryan did this too, but it feels like Charles Huff's making a full, clear effort in year one to do it. Having guys on staff from the city of Memphis mm-hmm. who understand the lay of the land and all of that, I think that's so damn important. It is so unbelievably important. And what this does in the meantime is, I think for the most part, I think Rodney will really help with the player development side of things. But when it comes to the high school relations, you could keep some. You get immediate recruiting bump in the city.
Yeah.
Because you have access to all of those big, high-level recruits. And you – listen, you're still going to lose them to SEC schools because they can pay more money. I understand that part of it. But having Rodney there as a shepherd for some of these younger players in the city of Memphis that are coming along right this second – I think it could be massive, and you could keep a lot more kids in town, in the city.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis has football talent here. There are a lot of high schools in the city of Memphis, a lot of good football players in the city of Memphis, and I like that Charles Huff has the understanding that you have got to be Memphis-centric in a lot of ways to be successful at the University of Memphis. I think it's true for basketball, and I think it's also true for football. If you embrace the city and you try to make sure that the best talent in the city stays at Memphis – usually leads to success.
Again, you're still going to lose guys, but having Rodney there, I think, will be a massive bump. Now, I was thinking about this, too. Who's going to take over at Whitehaven? I think I have a name pretty immediately. Gene Robinson. Shout out to Gene. He played for Rodney at Whitehaven. Was it German? Has been a Germantown. It rebuilt that pretty quickly. I mean, it feels like that would be – I haven't texted him. I haven't gotten any information out of him. I could probably text him right now to see if that's going to happen, but that seems like it would make sense because Whitehaven, I would imagine they want to keep up their football history and tradition.
I would think so. All right, next up. Kurt Cignetti's coaching job at Indiana up to this point is the best of all time. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
All right, listen. I don't like speaking in these terms of greatest and best all the time. Like I
what'd you just say about Vince Williams?
I don't always want to have these discussions, but at the same time I think this one is well deserved for Kurt Cignetti. This is not an overreaction. I think when you look at the history of college football, and the rarefied air he has put himself in, this is the best coaching job by any one coach in the history of college football. That does not mean he's the best coach of all time. I want to be very clear about that. To be able to get into that type of, you know, category, you're going to have to get to 6 national championships. You're going to have to get up there and win multiple. You're going to have to get closer to Saban, closer to Bear Bryant, closer to all these unbelievable coaches from yesteryear. So I'm not ready to do that, but when we talk about a turnaround and a build and just – being a guy who can develop along the way, bring the donors out of hiding after years and years and years at Indiana, turning Indiana from a basketball school into a football school, I just can't think of anything that really competes with this. And also, I saw this stat today. At the highest level of college football, there has been one 16-0 season. Now, at the FCS level, there was a 16-0 season in 2019, national champs, North Dakota State. So I want to give them credit. But at the highest level of football, there's been one 16-0 season in the past, I think, 150 years. That was 1894, Yale Bulldogs.
Wow.
So okay. Kurt Cignetti is the favorite to go 16-0 and be the next in line to go 16-0 since 1894. That should tell you something in itself. This was the most losing program in the history of college football programs. And he takes it over and has 2 losses in 2 years. And he is on the precipice of getting into a national title and winning it. He's the favorite. His team's the favorite. It's sensational. It boggles the mind. And I think the argument against, okay, this is the best coaching job of all time, is people would say, okay, well, we're in a new era. You can turn over a roster. You can make things better quickly. We've seen it multiple times, you know, since NIL became a thing, since transfer portal, you know, unlimited, unfettered access to the transfer portal, all this freedom of movement. We've seen it multiple times. But what I would say to that is when you look at what Indiana and Kurt Cignetti have done to evaluate the talent, pinpoint the talent, bring in the talent, develop the talent, and then on top of that, be able to raise the money behind the scenes that has never been there before. I saw a story in Front Office Sports today, Connor. Not sure if you saw it yet. Mark Cuban.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. Yes.
Mark Cuban, to be clear, most of these guys, not even most of these guys, all these guys, there's no real return on investment when you donate for transfer portal funds, you know, to your alma mater or to a school of your choice. There's no real return on investment. But Kurt Cignetti has gotten Mark Cuban to promise and pledge money to this year's transfer portal class, and I think that's something that will continue to happen going into the future. So that in itself should just tell you, like, this guy has his finger on the pulse of everything he needs to have his finger on the pulse of to be successful in his particular program. And that program just happens to be historically the worst of all time.
If he's able to win a national championship this year and goes undefeated, that Google me quote he gave is going to go. It already feels like it's going down in history, but if he is able to accomplish all of that, it really will be the moment we all look back on and be like, this is an all-time quote.
Called a shot.
All-time quote. And I saw an interesting take today where someone said, like, the Mark Cuban donation to NIL to help out with the transfer portal. I saw that the NIL, and one of the reasons it has leveled the playing field in college athletics for some schools like Indiana, is the people who were previously only donating to the business schools or the art schools and the communications, whatever it is, are now donating to sports because of NIL, and it has just leveled things out for all of these schools. And it is insane that this is happening at Indiana, because I don't know if a lot of people truly realize they were in the at the bottom of football.
They came
the worst. They were the worst you could possibly be.
People know the stat though at this point. Going into now this
they
season,
do, I think
they were the most losing program.
I think
in
they
FBS
do now.
History.
It's just, but that turnaround is so drastic from 3 years ago to now. All of a sudden, you're the national championship favorite. You have a Heisman Trophy winner, and you not only do you have arguably the best coach in the country right now. He also wants to stay at Indiana, which feels nutty.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's older, and hey, man, he's
he also just kind of has this chip on his shoulder against all these other schools that seemingly passed over him, like Alabama. It's one of the reasons he wanted to bury him in that game.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you didn't want to hire me. I'm going to go prove myself at these other schools and make you regret your decision.
I just think in itself, too, I know I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek here, but making Indiana fans forget completely about the basketball program, that's insane.
Are we going to get a new Hoosiers movie, but it's going to be about football instead of basketball?
Maybe, man. Maybe. What would be the equivalent in football of a granny-style free throw?
I don't know. Fake punt or fake field goal? I don't know.
Statue of Liberty? What are we talking
about? Yeah, I suppose. Speaking of Statue of Liberty, when you first brought this question to me, is it the greatest coaching job we've seen in college football? You know, your initial reaction is you don't want to say all time. There's got to be one that we're forgetting or we're not acknowledging. One that popped in my head was that first Boise State season, like that them winning that game in the fashion they did. I think that's probably up there for like a turnaround single season. But then when you start going through it and everything that Indiana had going against it, It's got to be him. I don't know if there's another answer.
Boise State wasn't near as few.
No, that's what I mean. It's when you like start digging into it, you can't go. You just keep going back to like, God, it was Indiana. Like, it's so insane.
You truthfully cannot find a comparison that really stands up.
It would be like someone.
There's a couple that I can put side by side with it. That Boise, sure, I can give you that. But there's none that actually measure up when you really put them side by side, put the resumes.
It would be like someone going to Connecticut, making them undefeated national championship.
I keep coming back to this, and I was talking to my brother about this when I was in San Diego hanging out with the family. It is like I am on College Football 26, starting up my dynasty.
and you went to Indiana.
I'm serious,
Yeah,
where
very
I'm
much
playing
so.
Every game, controlling it, and I'm just winning and winning. That's what this is. It's unheard of. It's unfathomable. But it's happening right before our eyes. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, I have a question to pose Connor about the college football playoff, these final four teams. And also, we'll get into some transfer portal news with Damon Williams at Washington finding himself.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a pretty tricky situation. Let's go ahead. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. We are down to four in the college football season. Three more games are to be played. Tomorrow night, we will have Ole Miss Miami. Friday night, Oregon, Indiana, then we'll have the national championship after that with whoever wins both of those games. I happened to be watching, while I was up with my son this morning, a little bit of Hot Take TV, okay? I usually don't do this, but I clicked it on, turned it to ESPN, sort of wanted to see what people were talking about. And I came across First Take, and Shea Cornett, the new host, since Molly Karam, stepped away. She posed a question that I found very interesting because I think there's a case for every single team if you want to go in any direction with this. But I'm going to pose this to you, Connor. Which team of the Final Four in the college football playoff would be the best story if they won the national title. If we get there and Ole Miss is hoisting the trophy, Indiana's hoisting the trophy, Miami, whoever it is, which is, in your opinion, the best story to be told when it's all said and done?
Indiana.
You think it's Indiana?
It's Indiana.
I would say Indiana Ole Miss is the default answer.
Close second, though.
Is the default answer because Indiana's the losingest program in the history of college football and the Kurt Cignetti stuff and winning a national title.
Well, and Mendoza, the magic Indiana, season Mendoza, of Indiana.
Yeah, for sure. Like all of that year two for Kurt Cignetti, putting himself in that category.
That's a good question.
16-0 for the first time in the highest level of college football since 1894 Yale.
The worst team in the history
I think I would default there, but I was just going through all the names and I'm thinking about the cases you could make for each and every school. And I think they're all there. Indiana's obvious. We just went through. Ole Miss, pretty obvious
Very
as well.
Very good case. Very good
because
case.
Because Lane Kiffin steps away and they've used it as this rallying cry. And they haven't won a national title since the 60s. You know, this is a team that's not been used to being in this position. And now they're doing it with an interim head coach that's ultimately going to take over as the head guy next year in Pete Golding. But he's the interim head coach as of right this second. Miami, I think the case would be, okay, remember what college football was when Miami was up. Remember what 2001 Miami looked like, all the talent they brought in, how exciting it was. Having Miami good, just like Nebraska or a school like that, having them good is good for college football. That's the case that you can make. The U is back, right? I wouldn't make that case. I don't think they'd be the best story, but I could see where people would make that case. And then Oregon, I think, would be last. But I could say...
I would say Miami's last.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Because...
they've done it before.
Historically, in our lifetime, we're used to them being there at least every once in a while. Oregon, I could make the case... finally got through.
Right,
if they win a national title.
That's why I would flip them above Miami.
And they're getting through with a head coach that has had offers from everywhere and has decided, hey, I'm going to stick here at Oregon.
Right.
So I thought this was a phenomenal question. Among a lot of questions that I don't think are so phenomenal on Hot Take TV on First Take, but I would say in order, I would go Indiana, Ole Miss, Miami, then Oregon.
Yeah, I would be Indiana, Ole Miss.
You'd have Oregon.
Oregon, Miami.
Yeah. You would just flip Oregon and Miami. Miami, though, listen, if you want to sit there and make the case, and I was talking to Coach Hurd, Miami fan, before he left the studio, and he was definitely making the case of, hey, the U being back is good for college football. And I'm like, I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But I do think these other stories, at least the two that I mentioned off the top, Indiana, Ole Miss,
I think it's just, when you look at it, three of these teams haven't done it. One has. So I can't put Miami above the teams who haven't done it yet. It would be a bigger deal for those schools. Miami, them being good and being back, all that, great for college football. I don't disagree with that by any means. But I just think it would be more significant for Indiana. It would be more significant for Ole Miss outside of Miami.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
And the Oregon one would be interesting because could a national championship and breaking through, could it be the makings of like a real powerhouse in college football? If Dan Lanning is able to really break through with this team, who I think a lot of us could agree is not the most talented team he's had in the last few seasons. But if he could break through with this one, I think it could lead to future success for Oregon in major, major ways. I know that they're already getting a ton of money from Nike, but just think about an increased amount of money that Oregon could get from and a boost.
And there's
from
something to be said about championship experience and having won one and how much better you are as a coach and, for having won one and been gone through those moments.
And just in recruiting battles, saying, we've won one. We've got one here. You can win one in Oregon. We've got sick Nike gear, and we win.
Yes.
That's a hell of a coach or a hell of a pitch that you can give a player.
And Eugene, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful place.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah. You want to go sweat down in Alabama? Yeah, pass out.
All right. Now, getting into the transfer portal, a lot going on. A couple of just house cleaning notes before we get to the Damon Williams story. UNLV lost their quarterback, Anthony Calandria, to the transfer portal. He was phenomenal, very good, dual-threat guy. He ends up committing to Nebraska. Did you see who's going to UNLV now?
No.
Jackson Arnold is headed to go play for Dan Mullen at UNLV. Former five-star quarterback, okay, has started 18 games at Oklahoma and then at Auburn. Obviously has not lived up to the expectations that were set for him considering how high level of recruit he was. But,
I like it.
I like it a lot. At that level, plus the Dan Mullen bump of, I do think he is good with quarterbacks. I really do. I think that could work out very well for UNLV. I don't know if they won the trade or won the trade off, losing Anthony Calandria, getting Jackson Arnold, but I think that they have the potential going into next year to be one of the best teams, if not the best team in the group of five.
Yeah, he's the type of player where just having less pressure and not as big of a microscope on him could lead to success.
Yep, and then we had a couple of NFL draft declarations.
I saw.
One, totally understandable. I think both are understandable, but one for sure is understandable. Carnell Tate,
yep,
from Ohio State, he's heading to the draft. First round him, give him his money, call the family, shout out. The other one, I'm not as high on this guy as everybody else is. Ty Simpson declared for the NFL draft, Alabama quarterback. And he had a good season, especially statistically, and he had some really good moments throughout the season.
Sure.
Down the stretch, I was not overly impressed, though. I really wasn't. Apparently, according to a Pete Famel article, they have been told by just about every single agent they've been in contact with, and every organization they've been in contact with, that he has first-round grades from just about everybody. But again, there's only a certain amount of quarterbacks that end up going in the first round. I know there's a lot of quarterback-needy teams, and he could very well sneak up there to be a very high pick, but Dante Moore, we're waiting on his decision. Fernando Mendoza, I think, right now is thought to be the number one overall pick to the Las Vegas Raiders. So I'm just looking at the situation. I don't know. I'm not saying it's a bad decision by him. It's probably the right decision. But I'm not as high on Ty Simpson as I should be, although I do see the physical attributes he possesses, and I could see where by the time we get to the draft, he could raise his stock pretty high.
Sure. I do think it's the right decision for him to go. Don't know if I agree with the first round grades he's getting.
Right. That's NFL franchise.
And I could be very wrong about this, but he feels destined to be a good backup in the NFL for a long time.
He'll get a shot as a starter, but we'll see if he can pass those tests.
Yeah.
That's the question I have right now. But also, there's been a lot of quarterbacks that have shocked me. We'll talk about one in the trip around the NFL. Tyler Shuck is going to be the starter for the New Orleans Saints, and he deserves it. And I never
thought. Is he going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I don't know. It's a good question. We'll check the odds later when we talk about
sure.
this. But, I've been surprised before. I think I'm more in your camp. I hate to say it. I am moderately impressed by Ty Simpson. I am heavily impressed by the Dante Moores, the Fernando Mendozas of the world. So we'll see how it all plays out, but Ty Simpson is headed to the NFL draft. That starts, though. I think this is a good thing for Alabama, though, because it gives you some clarity on, okay, Keelan Russell, that five-star, that number one overall quarterback guy you got last year, he's going to be a redshirt freshman. Your time's now, brother.
I totally get why, though, they might be getting reports that he is getting first-round grad. He checks a lot of boxes for NFL teams.
Listen, the two names, I think without question, that are ahead of him are Dante Moore, if he comes out.
And Mendoza.
Which he probably will, and Mendoza.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you have this mixed match of a lot of different sort of names that could impress. Like Carson Beck may be one still throughout this process.
But let's be honest,
he's had that thought. There's been that thought process about him being a first-round pick in the past.
Yeah.
And he's older. He's experienced.
Yes, he is.
So maybe that's a guy that throughout testing and combine and Senior Bowl could really raise his stock. So, I get it. It's not the strongest quarterback class in the world, and that makes sense for Ty Simpson. But, again, as a prospect it's himself, if I'm just looking at it objectively, I don't see everything I need to see at this particular moment.
I heard this. They were talking about this on The Ringer when I was listening to one of their podcasts, and the question was floated, Dante Moore. Let's say that, it breaks and he is going to be going to, the Jets. Does he stay in?
This was a Todd McShay conversation. I saw this.
Does he stay in? Would he just go back to Oregon and be like, no, I'm good.
No.
I'm good.
No,
pass.
He's going to the Jets.
You think so?
If the Jets. Listen, we do this every year, don't we? We do it every year where we say, okay, would it be better for him to get drafted by the Browns or go back to school? And I think most of us in our heart of hearts say, okay, it'd probably be better to go back to school and get drafted by a better team. But how often has it turned out where the guy goes back to school to be avoided to avoid getting drafted by the Jets or the Browns or a team like that? It's never happened. We have these conversations, but I can't. Is there an example of it happening?
Not off the top of my head.
Right.
But here's what I would add to that. I think the caveat to that is we don't have a ton of sample size yet of NIL era kid deciding to go back to school because
that's
he can still make money.
That's a very
fair
point.
I also think Dante Moore's case specifically, it's Oregon.
I'm with you.
You know what I mean?
But I would say what's a rookie scale contract?
I don't know. I can look it up.
It up real quick because I do know it's way more than what you're going to make in NIL. If you're getting a rookie deal as a first-round quarterback, you're making more guaranteed money than that 1 year that you go back to school. So that still trumps it. Like I guess I get what you're saying where you still have a lot to gain.
So recent drafts – now, some of these are first overall picks.
Second overall pick.
Right. So Caleb Williams, first overall, 4 years, 39.4.
Okay.
Jaden Daniels, second overall, 4 years, 37.7.
More. And
Drake May, third, 4.36. And then Shedeur Sanders,
we're talking $9 million and above. And likely if you're if you're the first overall pick in this draft, you'd be a $10 million per year guy. Right, that's fair to say.
Yeah, he'll go.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
I agree.
In the end of the day, yes, we don't have the sample size with the NIL being as massive as it is, where we have $6 million deals for quarterbacks now, but still $6 million compared to $10 million and guaranteed over 4 years. That's a substantial contract to deny because you don't want to go to a particular NFL franchise.
I do think he should also take into consideration the class overall. And would you be the number one overall pick or the second pick in next year's draft? Or is this your best opportunity to cash in on money?
I think this is a great opportunity for Dante Moore, for sure, to first or second overall pick. He could probably find a way to beat out Fernando Mendoza through testing and everything else and interviews. It's going to be hard to beat out Fernando Mendoza and interviews.
Yeah.
But you get the point I'm making. Pre-draft process could definitely help out a guy like Dante Moore with his athleticism and everything else.
Sure.
All right. Now, transfer portal nonsense. Yeah, talk about it. Damon Williams, quarterback over at Washington, really good year for them. He entered the transfer portal last night via his social media, his Twitter, put out a statement. And Washington's not too fond of that. And the reason Washington is not too fond of that is because Damon Williams, not too long ago, signed a $4 million deal with their collective.
It was last week.
and their revenue sharing situation. It was a $4 million deal for this season. Washington is going to probably fight to the end of the earth, to either get back their money or get Damon Williams back on campus, although that latter part, we'll elaborate on that in just a moment. But they're going to pursue legal options to enforce the contract. One, the buyout in the contract reads, the cost of the buyout is in the sole discretion of Washington. So if you then get out of it and there has to be a buyout, Washington gets to pick the price, which is, okay, Damon, be careful. And then number two, the contract specifically states that the institution is not obligated to enter the student-athlete into the transfer portal or otherwise assist or facilitate the student-athlete's transfer to any other college or university. So Damon Williams has gone back on his word, and not just on his word, on what a contract states that he signed with a pen. I don't like seeing young guys like this learn tough lessons. I don't like seeing guys get hurt monetarily at this point in their life. But I will say this. This is my overwhelming thought. If you're going to sign big boy contracts, you have to be ready for if you try to void out or get rid of those contracts, if you don't abide by those contracts, you have to be ready for big boy consequences.
Yep.
And for Washington, I think my assumption at this point is it's less about getting Damon Williams back to campus, and it's more about setting a precedent for the future. We're not going to allow you to do these things and go against the contract with no consequences going into the future. We have some wins that we have to get.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A reputation to uphold, and this Damon Williams situation, if they did nothing about it, could come back to haunt them.
Yeah, this seems pretty cut and dry to me. Like, sorry, man, you signed a contract. Last week, you signed a deal. I don't care that LSU came a-calling and offered you a bigger check. You signed a contract, made a commitment. You can't just get out of that because you're a good football player. Sorry, man. And that's why, listen, it doesn't appear that he will play at Washington. It'd be shocking if he went back and actually played football for them. But I don't know, man. You have to honor that contract. And
yep.
I don't really see a way out for him. It's
you either honor the contract or you don't, but you face consequences. And that seems like what's going to happen here. Because Washington is well within the right to do this, and I honestly agree with it.
I fully agree with it. Yeah.
Just, I mean, in a different way than the Nico situation, I think you need to stand on business every once in a while as a program and let prospective student-athletes and the student-athletes that are already on campus, you have to let them know how this thing is going to play out,
yes.
How this is going to work.
Yes. I wonder what the consequences would be for him.
A lot of money paid back, big buyout paid back. I don't know what beyond that. I don't think there would be any massive eligibility issues because that's not how it works at this moment. But this would be a lot of money out of the pocket of a 20-year-old. That's what it sounds like to me. But he has only himself to blame. Don't sign a contract a week ago and then try to void out of it the next week because someone comes calling for $1 million more. It's just not how this works. You shouldn't have signed the contract then.
Don't let perfect get in the way of good, kid.
And does he have an agent, by the way?
I have no
idea. He's got to have an agent. His agent's got to. What's his agent telling him right now? Because whoever it is clearly giving him bad advice.
Also, of course Kiffin's involved.
Of course he is. No doubt.
Just the villain turn for Kiffin, man. Oof.
it's a turn back to the villain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, he was like,
you say villain turn, like this is the first time.
No, he's basically the Emperor from Star Wars. He's been pretending to be good this whole time, and then it's back turned. He was like,
yes.
Good.
All right, let's go ahead and grab a break. Get to hour number two next. And I want to talk about this exact story, Damon Williams trying to void out of this Washington contract, with David Cobb from CBS Sports. We'll do that next.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.